Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. It is a blessing to be in God's church this morning. It has certainly been a very hot week, and I hope that you find God's cooling presence this morning. There are several announcements to say this morning. Next week, Tag Sunday, back to school, back to church. When you hear the word tag, most people think of name tag, and that's exactly what you should think of, because next week, we want everyone that has a name tag to wear it. I know that there have been several testimonies that have been given to me and to Reverend Mary with how important it is to wear that name tag. Visitors and guests so appreciate seeing those names and seeing the faces with them. And so next week, we want everyone to wear their name tags. And if you don't have a name tag, Reverend Mary, if you don't know, I think in the bulletin or in the circuit rider, there is a top 10 list of where to keep your name tag, okay? We want also to remind you that next Sunday is third grade Bible Sunday and promotion Sunday. Very important Sunday in the life of our church. And how could I not tell you about this? Maybe you were handed these when you walked in, but these are door hangers that have our advertisements of what will go on this fall in the life of our church. And take a couple or four or however many you want to and place them on a neighbor's door. You don't have to say a word. You don't even have to knock. You just place it there, and then you can run away as you please. Please check the bulletin for the prayer requests. I would like to say, for those that are curious, Todd Meade's surgery went very well this past week, and they are expecting him to go home today. So let us open with a word of prayer. Holy One, we gather in the midst of the believers of the faith, those who proclaim you as God, who seek to serve you. May we give you all the praise and the glory this morning, and may we approach our lives with how you live, with love, with mercy, and compassion. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us arise, and actually, we have a stewardship moment, correct? Yes.
Good morning. Hope y'all are doing well today. My name is Ashley Burks, and this is my husband, Josh, and our daughter, Lily, and she's a little shy. We just wanted to tell you why we come to Asbury and the great programs and why we are continuing to stay at Asbury. We started coming to Asbury in 2005. I had a family member who got married here, thought the church was beautiful, and people were very nice, and said, why don't we start coming? We live close. Sounds great. It wasn't until we got involved in the Next Phase Sunday School class that we really felt a pull to come even more. And then Tom Weir got a hold of us, and and started, you know, nagging us, why don't you join? Why don't you join? It's great. Let's join. And so we finally joined in 2007. And on the same day that we joined, Josh got baptized. So that was a very special day. We like to be involved in the church. I've been involved in handbells, altar guild, children's Sunday school teacher, stone soup, and the new mission society that we have started. Josh is involved in trustees, and he's kind of the unofficial tech guy for Asbury. Very important. And Lily likes to do anything that's fun, like Sunday school and kids club and choir. She's a fun girl. It was our Sunday school involvement that has really made a big impact on our lives. In 2008, we decided to go for adoption for Lily. And it's private adoption, so it's pretty expensive. And our Sunday school really rallied around us, supported us, prayed for us. They were very crucial to fundraisers that we had, gave countless volunteer hours and time for us. And so we really appreciate that. Now we have rallied around other people in our Sunday school class. We make dinner for each other. When we go through times of transition, we're always there for each other, whether it's a death or a birth of a child. So we really love to be together, and we love to plan and do social gatherings, like parties. So we have fun with that. I want to encourage everyone, if you're not involved in a Sunday school class or small group, please do. So you can feel the same love and support that we've felt over the years. I was looking through the covenant ministry that we have gotten out, and there are 81 ways that you can get involved at Asbury. Now, that's big. Everybody can find some way to get involved and get plugged in. You could join a music program, teach Sunday school, Bible study, be in the video ministry. If you like to bake, they have a bread ministry once every couple of months. And I think they have childcare, so that's a great thing to do, too. So now Josh would like to tell you other ways to get involved in Asbury.
First of all, I want to thank you for attending or visiting Asbury today. I want to add to what Ashley said by encouraging you and challenging you to give the 1% improvement plan a try next year. You probably think 1% is a small number, but when you look at it as a percentage, it really is. But if you break down what's really behind that 1%, you represent it that there's an enormous potential in 1% and what things we can do with Asbury through the name of Jesus, inside and most importantly, outside of our church. First of all, did you know that most of us easily contribute 1% a week to this church just by attending this service and going to a Sunday school class? There's roughly 10,080 minutes in a week, so that's 1%, you know, an hour and a half. So let's say you add another 1% next year to your commitments and you step up and join a different small group or, you know, go work Stone Soup or any of these other 81 things that Ashley has counted out. So imagine if all of us gave an extra hour and a half a week, what great things we could do inside, outside, and everywhere in this world through our church. And so obviously, if you added 1% to your time, your talent, and even your tithing, imagine if all of us in here added 1% or as much as 1% as we can to what we've committed to Asbury, and think of how many great things we could do all over the world through this church. Thank you.
I wanted to add a prayer request this morning about, is it Mick? Mackie? Megan Arnold. I want to lift them up in prayer this morning. And the last announcement, I promise. Community Wednesdays begin this Wednesday. Who's excited? Okay, so yeah. We want to encourage you to participate because you get to foster relationships with folks in the class and you get to learn a little bit. And we want to have fellowship and learning opportunities for Wednesday night, and we hope that you attend. With that said, let us stand and greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Trust in the Lord and do good.
May the Lord give strength to his people.
O taste and see that the Lord is good.
God is our refuge and strength.
I'd like the children to come forward. Every little one. Oh my goodness. Everyone come down to the front. Oh my goodness. How is everybody today? Oh, we're still coming. So many little ones. Are y'all doing anything fun this weekend? What are you?
I've been playing in my toys and watching TV.
You have?
I've been watching movies.
Watching movies? Well, that's exciting, right?
I'm playing with my Barbie doll.
Playing with your Barbie doll.
Doll.
Okay. Great. Let me ask you guys a question. Do you know what a symbol is? What's a symbol?
It's an instrument that crash together.
That is true. That is absolutely true. You know what? There's another spelling of symbol.
Yeah.
There's another word for symbol. That's a great answer. What is it?
A draw it.
A draw it? Have y'all ever seen like something that means a picture that means something?
Oh, like words, but they're in the symbols.
That's right. This, what is this? Everybody look? Everybody see?
Cross.
Everybody see? This is a cross.
Can I hold it?
You can hold it, yeah.
Really,
now, what is significant about this? What is a cross?
It looks like a cross.
It does look like a cross. That's right.
It looks like a lollipop cross.
So, what does this mean? Do you know what this is? What is a cross? The thing that Jesus died on. That's right. You can hold it. Yeah. It used to be a way.
Has three statues of Jesus and two people beside him.
Oh yeah, with Jesus. Yeah, the two thieves.
Whenever I used to spend the night with him.
Oh.
All the time. It's been Easter and Christmas with him. But the police said I can't anymore.
So this cross. In Jesus' time, it would be used to kill criminals.
But Jesus was in a criminal.
That's right. They nailed him to the cross.
I still understand why they killed him. He's not a bad guy.
Well, that's the big thing. I mean, Jesus was killed and wrongly killed. Mm-hmm. But what's the rest of the story?
Hmm.
What happens after he dies?
He rises.
That's right.
He comes back to life.
So what this meant was a way to kill someone. But God made it a way to give life. Okay? All right. Well, let's gather up and let's pray. Holy God, we just thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for how you have blessed our lives, how you work to bring us good blessings. Let us rejoice in your name, and let us always be people who follow the way of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. It's children's time this morning. If we want to, I guess not.
You can let the little kids go first. I'll sit up.
We've come to that time in service where Christians have two special privileges. The first is to talk to the Lord. Let us go to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you're an awesome God. And we just praise you this morning because you are always there for us, the good times, the hard times. You're there to bless us. And when we're at our worst, you love us. And we don't understand the depth of that love all the time. But we thank you for it, because it brings us salvation. We have some people listed in our bulletin who need your special care. Some names that are not there, that's on our hearts, we want you to hear about those as we silently lift them up to you. You know their need more than we do, and so we ask you to touch them where they need that touch the most. We want to pray for our country, especially for those people who are putting their lives in harm's way in the military around the world. May what they do really bring peace to our world, so that people can live together and not kill each other, but help each other. We want to pray for our church. There's such a spirit in it right now that brings us together and gives us opportunities to express your love to people outside the walls. We thank you that you have seen fit to call the unqualified and qualify them to do your work in the world. I want to pray for our leaders in the church, our ministers and the staff who give so much of their time that the people don't see. There are times that they need that little touch that says, "You've done good, my child." Bless them with those times. Now, God, I want to ask you to forgive us, for we've all not been faithful to you all the time. We've sought to do our own thing in our own way, and instead of pausing and letting that still small voice tell us what we ought to do. Speak to us. Let us be so close to you that we become attentive to that word, that we can do your will in all that we do. I ask this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our second privilege is to give back to God that which he has given to us. You know, we hear this thing about tithing and giving a tenth, and some people want to say, well, maybe we ought to do just 1% more. The Bible says we ought to give a tenth. Do you realize that that means that the other 90% that God gives you is yours to use as you think you ought to do? That 10% is to proclaim God to your world. Bless, O Lord, the gift and the giver. Send them forth from this place in the power of your Holy Spirit to proclaim your word to our world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. remain standing for our hymn of meditation, hymn number 400, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. As the words are read aloud, we ask the Holy Spirit to allow them to rest upon our hearts and minds so that we might hear them anew and fresh this morning. Hear these words. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us go to God in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Crosses. We see them in so many different places. Sometimes we see giant crosses on the interstate. Sometimes we can see crosses tattooed on people's bodies. In a church, there is all kinds of crosses. There's crosses on the communion plates. There are crosses in stained glass windows. And there are crosses all around this church and churches just like it. At the top of steeples, you'll often find the image of a cross. And of course, crosses are jewelry. People wear them as necklaces, bracelets, or earrings in gold, silver, diamonds, or just plain old wood. So how did we get from the cross Jesus was on 2,000 years ago to crosses nowadays that are worn as more of a fashion piece? Sometimes there might be meaning behind it, but other times maybe people are just wearing them as an accessory to their clothes or whatever. You see, the time of Jesus, the cross, as many of us know, was an instrument of death, a very harsh way of torture that led to a person's being killed, reserved for criminals, such as thieves, murderers, or those who want to spark revolution. And they would be strung up or nailed to a cross, left there for hours, and either die from suffocation or succumb to shock. Anguish. Yet, in this day and time, we wear crosses around our necks. We take an old, rugged symbol of death, and now it's a symbol either for an attraction piece or something where there's deep meaning. For Corinth, you know, Paul is writing this letter to the church of Corinth. And we have to remember that Corinth was the Las Vegas of Paul's world. Lavish. All the pleasures of life you could find and were encouraged to do. Many ways to get into trouble. However, not much has changed because we have our own Corinths today, maybe even more so, where the wisdom of Corinth in our time today says, take all that you can get. Hold nothing back with claiming what is yours. Take all the pleasures of life and enjoy them because that's the meaning of life. To gain all the riches, to live lavishly. So from that perspective, the cross is foolish. We have to remember the passage that Paul writes to the Corinthians. God's foolishness is wiser than any human wisdom. And isn't it just like God to take a symbol of death and torture, anguish, and flip it upside down into a symbol of life? A symbol of hope? To where now there is so much meaning in your walk of faith. How many times has the cross come up? You see, God's wisdom is greater than human wisdom. The way of the cross, the way of Jesus, as Jesus walked 2,000 years ago to the cross, we see humiliation happen. We see loneliness, with Christ being abandoned from his friends and family and even feeling abandoned by God. We see Jesus emptying himself, giving all that he is to the message he is teaching. And so that message is always contradictory to the message that says, go and get all that you can. Store up your riches. Be lavish. Enjoy the pleasures of life. My hope today is that we would reject that we would call it out in its name and call that that is false. And that the gospel preaches that we must give ourselves up. We must serve others. The way of the cross is of love, self-sacrifice, humility. It will always run against the message that the world seeks for us to take in as wisdom. Many years ago, in 2001, I know that many of you can't see this, but it's a small golden cross. And in 2001, for Christmas, I got this as a present from my parents. 2 years prior to that, I had gone through confirmation. And I had taken the classes, and I was one of those kids that was far more into it than others. And when confirmation day came, and we said those vows, it was a wonderful occasion. And one of the gifts that was given to the confirmands was a small wooden cross necklace. Now, 2 years later, a classmate of mine was playing around, grabbed my necklace, and it broke. And it made me really sad. And my parents knew that that cross meant a lot to me, so they decided to get me something that would last for years. And so they gave me this small golden cross. And I wear it every day as a sign and a symbol of the vows that I took at confirmation, where it marked for me that now I must walk the way of the cross, the way of Jesus. Expectations are high, but God is present to be with me every moment. And at that confirmation, it takes me back to my baptism, where I was proclaimed as a child of God, loved and cherished entirely. And then it takes me back to the cross Jesus went to, the one we in our faith journey must always confront. We must always entertain in our faith walk, making it important, because I believe as Christians it's critical that the cross plays some impact on our faith walk. The meaning of the cross could be different for each of us because we each experience it in different ways, and how we see Jesus and how we perceive Jesus sees us. But I believe it's important for one of the main reasons. We see Jesus teaching all his life. See him teaching important things such as love your neighbor, love your enemy, take care of the downtrodden, the outcast, the poor, those people that are persecuted. Be with those people and serve them. And then what does Jesus do? He exemplifies it with his life. The cross, to me, is the point where Jesus confirms everything that he has taught. And he is saying, look, I gave my life for this. What will you do now? A question that must be asked this morning is, when we think about the cross, when we think about the Christian life, are we ashamed? Are we uncomfortable? Do we feel foolish in believing these things? I hope and pray that the answer is no. I don't feel foolish. I don't feel embarrassed. If we do think that it's foolish, then we need to be on our knees, begging God to forgive us, to unlock within us the knowledge that God loves us entirely And one of the whole points of Christ going to the cross was to show how much love God has. We must live that out. We must live with that knowledge. The knowledge that the death, the cross, this symbol of execution, means for us as Christians the gift of abundant life and eternal life. It's important for me that when we think about the cross and the death of Jesus, that we know that without the cross and the death of Jesus, there is no resurrection. And without no resurrection, there is no cross or the death of Jesus. Both are equally important. Both are vital and important to the Christian life. We, as the people of God, can search all day long in trying to answer, what and how did God do this? Bringing life from death. And trust me, theologians have been trying to figure out that out for 2,000 years. But we won't. Instead, we have to believe. We have to make it a part, an important part of our life. Have it inspire us, living for God in every moment. And so, in walking the way of the cross, there is risk of humiliation. There is risk of losing everything, including our friends and family. This can be frightening. But what will we do? God's expectation for us, as spoken in Jesus, is to take up your cross and follow me. So will we? Will we take up the cross? A secret everyone should know is that when we pick up our cross, Jesus is right there with us, lifting it up alongside us. This journey of the Christian life, walking the way of the cross, God knows that it's transformative to our life. It works within us the grace of God, which brings about blessings, the hope, the life. God hopes for us to live as Christ lived so that we might change the world. It's a bold task, but it's God's vision. And if God visioned it, then it can happen. So what will we do today? Will we take up our cross with Jesus' help and walk the Christian way, pushing aside human wisdom, seeking to keep focus with what God would have us to do? Let us go forth and do that. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is now that wonderful time for Holy Communion, and Joe Wilkerson will bring us the invitation to the table.
This is not a United Methodist table. This is God's table. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of a church, but you want the privilege of having your sins forgiven, you're invited to partake of this sacrament of Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another.
Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have failed to be an obedient church.
We
We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
It is always a blessing to come to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a tremendous blessing for me to be able to preside at the table. Know that this is a means of grace, a channel by which God's love can enter to your heart and soul, change you from within. As we just discussed, the way of the cross is giving up oneself. And this sacrament of Holy Communion is most evident of that witness. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and we join in your unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, he gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up, our Lord gathered with his friends. He gathered with his disciples. He took bread. He gave thanks to you. Broke it and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body which is broken for you. Do this as often as you eat of it in remembrance of me." And after the supper had been shared, our Lord took a common cup, again giving thanks to you. And then he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again in final victory, and we feast at your heavenly banquet. By your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the unity of you, and all honor, glory, Majesty be with you, Almighty God, author of love. Amen. Let us say with boldness the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take and remember how much God forgives you, loves you, and seeks for you to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. The blood of Christ poured and shed out from the cross. May we remember our forgiveness and the life he gave. Just a reminder that below here is our community fund. If you'd like to put funds in there, that would go to people in need. Another thing to remember is that we do have a gluten-free option. So when you approach the altar, just speak with Joe or myself, and we will make sure that you have that option available to you. I would also reiterate that this is an open table and all are welcome. Jesus gave himself for all. And I see that we have our stewards up here. And may we all come with joy and with the love of God on our hearts. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, we rejoice. We rejoice to know that you have given us such tremendous love. Love which is hard to comprehend. We ask that you would allow us to be strengthened by the bread and the juice we just received. May it nurture in us the love and mercy that you would give to all your children. And may we rejoice in your name. Amen.
Let us be standing for our closing hymn, Christ for the World We Sing, 568. We'll sing the first and last stanza.
Receive this benediction. Take up the cross. Take it with courage. Take it with the strength of God. And go in the Holy Spirit's loving embrace and power. May you always know that God loves you and God cares for you and seeks for you to be the transforming work in his world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.